Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone again. It's nice to be in Miami, a nice and very warm and friendly congregation. Some time ago, one of the other speakers that had come down said, you're going to really like the brethren in the Miami church, and that's certainly true. Very warm and friendly group. We appreciate that. I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee. For I am the greatest. Maybe many of you remember that saying from one of the best boxers of all time, Muhammad Ali. If you want a title for my message today, it would be simply The Greatest. For the question of who is the greatest has been asked over and over again throughout time, probably more than any other question asked. And it's asked in many different ways. It's asked not only by our words, but it's asked by our actions also. It's asked by our children when they say, my dad is greater than, my dad is bigger than your dad. It's asked at work through individuals that as they compete with each other and cause contention and strife with each other as they try and be the greatest. It's asked in many different ways, not only spoken, but the tug and striving to outdo the next person that we are in contact with. Was this a question that we should be striving for, pursuing? Who is the greatest? Should we be striving to be the greatest? Pursuing this question is the cause of strife between workers, employers, employees. It's the cause of strife between siblings, brothers and sisters, even nation to nation. As we see that and look across the world and see the news reports of one nation, one group fighting each other, they're asking the question, who is the greatest and who is in control? Sometimes it's even asked between church member to church member in the strife that we might have with another brethren. And it was even asked at Christ time, for after spending years with Christ Himself, the disciples asked that right up at the time of Christ's death, who is the greatest? It was asked at the Passover as they prepared for the Passover, the last Passover at Christ's death, when He instituted the foot washing service. Well, how should we as Christians be leaders? Should we as Christians be striving to be the greatest? The Council of Elders recently in their meetings have been discussing the importance of servant leadership. We might ask, well, how does this apply to me? I'm not really a leader, but if we stop and think about it, we're all leaders. We are all leaders. How does servant leadership apply to me? Well, today we're going to look at servant leadership, and we're going to review it and see why it's important for each and every one of us, servant leadership. It's why it's important for us to be striving to have the heart of a servant. Turn with me over today to the book of Philippians chapter 2. This is going to be our key scripture as we start out to try and get us focused on what we're going to talk about today. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 5. Verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And when we think about a servant leader, certainly this is a tremendous example. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. The New American Standard Bible states it this way. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what attitude was Paul referring to? Verses 6 and 7. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of men. We see that all things were created through Christ, this great being who was willing to humble himself and be made as a man, a servant leader. The theme of the upcoming General Conference of Elders in May is serving as Christ serves. Now, we've heard the term servant leadership in the past, and servant leadership It can be called by many different names, but it's serving as Christ served, or serving as a leader, leading as Christ served. So let's ask ourselves, what is servant leadership? Let's take a moment to define it. So some number of years ago, a man by the name of Howard Baker gave a presentation to the Council of Elders on servant leadership. And in this presentation, he took the company Southwest Airlines and he explained how they took on a leadership program of servant leadership. He went through that, explained, and related how the program that Southwest Airlines had put in place can be related to how we operate and how we react with each other in our lives in the church. In that presentation, he went on over several different points in defining what servant leadership is. Let's go over a few of the points that he made during that presentation. He said that a servant leader must have a great deal of love and concern for those that are served. Servant leaders are more interested in being in touch than in being in control. He stated that a servant leadership culture is like a family, and servant leadership organizations have a culture of the heart, and they are more than organizations. They are covenantal communities where relationships are based on covenants and people are bound by a deep sense of loyalty to each other. He went on to say that leaders are not placed in a body for privilege, but for service. Class privilege is the antithesis of service. And a privileged class structure makes an organization incapable of real service. To understand servant leadership, he says, is to truly understand Jesus Christ and God the Father. The church is a family in which God rules supreme, but kindly and lovingly in a way that builds and affirms each member and makes hierarchy superfluous. The church must not be viewed as a chain of command, he said, but as a network of love. He went on to say that a servant leader serves by preparing to serve. An important step in preparing to serve is a careful and honest self-assessment, looking reality straight in the eye. So these were some points from his outline that he gave to the Council of Elders. When we think about what is servant leadership, an article in the United News of July of 2008 titled Learning Leadership Through Service stated that service can be defined as leadership in action, directed toward a godly purpose that helps us build character and influence others, while allowing God's grace and the fruits of His Spirit to serve as a greater testimony to the work He is accomplishing now on earth and in each of our lives. I'm not a big fan of Wikipedia, but sometimes it states it different things, definitions in a succinct way. Wikipedia states about servant leadership as that servant leaders continually strive to be trustworthy, self-aware, humble, caring, visionary, empowering, relational, competent, good stewards, and community builders. In August of 2000, a United News article by Mr. Roy Holiday titled Christ Leadership Approach states that we've all been called to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And that means that we will serve humanity in the future. The greater the responsibility in the kingdom, the greater will be the opportunity to serve, Mr. Holiday stated. However, we won't be in the kingdom unless we are learning to apply the mind of Christ in all of our relationships today. We won't automatically become servants in the kingdom if we don't learn to be servants today, he stated. The United Church of God critical essence statement that the Council of Elders has come out with and stated is simply meaningful relationships. We might ask, well, what does that have to do with servant leadership? Well, in order to have servant leadership, we must have meaningful relationships with God, and we must have meaningful relationships with the brethren. Think about the two great commandments that God and Christ gave to us. We might ask ourselves, did Hitler have a meaningful relationship with his countrymen? How about Stalin? No, they didn't have a meaningful relationship. It was stand up and march or be killed. Can that be a meaningful relationship? No. Relationships in the church are family-based, not military-based. And that's why we call each other brethren. That's why God is our Father. That's why we pray to our Father in heaven, as we see in the example prayer in Matthew 6. It's not line up and march. It's not a pecking order. It's service. Servant leadership. See the difference? When United started back in 1995, we saw a flattening of the governing structure, a more collegiate approach. Certainly that is more servant leadership. We think of all meaning and all understanding can only come through a relationship with God, through His Spirit. We're not going to learn anything by just standing up and marching. Mr. Herbert Armstrong used to say often that the basis of all the world's problems is relationships, failed relationships. Mr. Armstrong used to say that there are two ways of life. Many of you remember that. The way of give and the way of get. Servant leadership is give leadership. The way of the world is get leadership. We might think and stop and look at the leaders of the world. The evil dictators get leadership. I'm reminded of a sermon I heard recently in the Tampa area, and the minister compared the leadership of Pharaoh to the leadership of Moses, and how eye-opening that was. We can use the example of how Pharaoh treated his people and how Moses treated the children of Israel. In a United News article in August of 2000, stated that Christ explained there are two different approaches to leadership, the world's approach and the servant approach. The natural approach is to use authority to lord over others. Christ did not say there were no positions of authority, but that authority and power is to be used to serve. And what a different perspective than what human nature teaches us. True servant leadership occurs when we submit to God and we show His love to others through our actions and our attitudes. And I think attitude is a key word here. Do we have the attitude of a servant leader? Well, when we learn about servant leadership, we must understand that this is for everyone. We can all be servant leaders. It takes a personal commitment from each and every one of us. We're all leaders, whether we think of it or not, in our daily activity, as we go about life, as we get gas from the gas station, as we interact with fellow workers. We're all leaders, each and every one of us. I'm reminded of a time that a lady was in a hospital bed, and a gentleman came to me and said, as she passed away, that she taught us how to die. And that's an extreme case, but each and every one of us can be leaders in everything that we do. We can be leaders as we see each other go through difficult trials and how we react to that. The impact of our service goes beyond the service itself. By influencing the lives of others that you serve, that they might see your example. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew, Matthew 5. Our example of leadership, proper godly servant leadership, can and will affect others. Matthew 5. Let's read in verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. And this is talking to each of us. Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house." Verse 16, "So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So our acts of leadership, servant leadership, can be examples to others around us. And God may even use us and our example to call others. Service is a way of life. It's just not a one-time event. It's an attitude. It's an ongoing dedication of investing our time and our ability in helping others. We should be serving with an open heart, a willing open heart. And certainly there are many opportunities to serve. The list can be endless. Even as simply as being there, encouraging someone who's going through a difficult time, comforting someone, visiting the lonely. We can go on and on of the opportunities to serve, a serving way of life. Well, as simple as it sounds, there are oppositions to servant leadership. There are those that think, well, this is not really a good idea. Well, let's take a look at a couple of those arguments against servant leadership. Some have a problem with servant leadership because they say, well, this is something that's done in a secular environment. I mentioned that Southwest Airlines, they have adopted the program of servant leadership, something not a religion but a secular corporation. Robert Greenleaf in 1970 started a foundation talking about servant leadership and teaching others to be servant leaders. Leadership trainers have picked up on servant leadership and incorporated it into their secular servant or their secular leadership training. Some people will say, well, that's secular. That isn't religious. That shouldn't be what we're doing because that's secular. But if we stop and think about it, these leaders who are training other people in corporations have just picked up on what Christ has taught all along and what Christ taught as his example. Leadership trainers have taken this Christ-inspired concept and they've put it to work in training other people in corporations around America and the world because they see that it works, this concept of leadership training, servant leadership. Some also may say, in objections to servant leadership, that, well, Christ wasn't a servant leader. He was a strong leader. Or they may say that, well, he was a servant leader sometimes, and he was a strong leader other times. But if that's their viewpoint, then they don't know what servant leadership is. Because they're not one and opposite of each other. You can be a servant leader and a strong leader at the same time. Christ overturned the money changers' tables, but he was a servant leader at the same time. Moses was the most meek man on earth, Numbers 12 tells us, but he was not weak. Even though he was the most meek man on earth, Moses was a servant leader. That was his way of life, his attitude. That's how he did things. Christ was not weak. He was a servant leader, a strong servant leader. Well, Christ taught us about being a servant leader. And let's look at some of the examples. Let's look where Christ introduced us to the concept of being a servant leader. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew, Matthew 20. We're going to see Christ teaching us about being a servant leader. Matthew 20. We're going to start in verse 20. Not only are we going to see his teaching, we're going to see how he taught also. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." Now she was being a mother here. She was wanting her sons to be in a responsible position, right in Christ's right hand and in Christ's left hand. Let's go on to verse 23. But Jesus answered and said, "You don't know what you ask for." And certainly she didn't. "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." Little did they know. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It's for those whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. Now, is that a servant leadership attitude? Or we see human nature coming out in everything that we do. Verse 25, but Jesus called them to himself and said, now we see an opportunity for Jesus to teach. He's teaching the servant leadership concept here. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. The way of the world, the way of Ged. Verse 26, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. So not only was he the example of servant leadership, but we see him teaching servant leadership also. The introduction to servant leadership. Turn with me over as we look at a couple other examples of servant leadership to the book of Luke. Luke 18. We're going to start in verse 9. Luke 18. We look at examples of servant leadership. Luke 18, verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Once again, the world's view, the getaway of leadership. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. We see once again Christ teaching servant leadership. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector over here. We're looking for an attitude. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, verse 13, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Who was the servant leader? It was this tax collector. We sang about it today in the second song, the second hymn that we sang. Talked about having a contrite heart, a contrite spirit. Let's turn back to the book of Mark, Mark 12. We think of examples of servant leaders, Mark chapter 12. Let's read in verse 41. Christ teaching servant leadership, verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then the one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrans, a very small amount of money. Verse 43, so he called the disciples to him and said to them, teaching servant leadership, once again, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in of their life or their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Who was the servant leader again, once I ask again? It was this widow. Christ teaching, once again, servant leadership. When we think about servant leadership, we might think about a child. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew. When we look and think about what is a servant leader. Matthew 18. And what should our attitude be? Matthew 18. How can we become servant leaders? We're looking at some examples of Christ teaching servant leadership. Let's start in verse 1. Matthew 18. At the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" There's that question being asked again that we talked about. Who is the greatest? And Jesus, looking at the opportunity to teach, verse 2, and Jesus called a little child to him and sat him in the midst of them and asked, "Assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God." How important is that? By no means you will enter the kingdom of God unless you change. Verse 4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Once again, Christ teaching the attitude of servant leadership. One chapter over in chapter 19, we're looking at the heart of a child. Chapter 19, verse 13. We recognize this as the blessing of the little children. Matthew 19, verse 13. "Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them." They didn't understand. Once again, Christ looking at this as the opportunity to teach servant leadership. Verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Just that important. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. A lesson in humility. For what are some characteristics of a child? When we think of a small child, we think of a bouncing little child going here and there. What are some of the characteristics that we can relate to? They are forgiving. A child is warm, friendly. A child has a sense of joy about them. They can get their feelings hurt. They can be bouncing and happy in the next minute. A child has humility. The ESV Study Bible tells us that in reference to the humility of a child, states that the humility of a child consists of childlike trust, vulnerability, the inability to advance his or her own cause apart from the help, direction, and resources of a parent. Children are gifts of God, and we have the obligation to treat them as blessings from God, to learn from them. Certainly is a lesson in humility to look at a child and learn lessons from that child. But that's exactly what Christ is telling us to do. Be like little children. Have the characteristics of children. Well, what are some characteristics of a servant? We might think, well, they're cooperative. Certainly they must be. They're teachable. They don't know it all. They're diligent. They have a job to do. They're submissive to others. And they serve from the heart. Mr. Luker, in a statement that he made to the Council of Elders in this latest Council of Elders meeting, stated that becoming Christ-centered servant leaders is essential for even being in the kingdom of God. It's just that important. It's essential for even being in the kingdom. He went on to state the United Church of God's vision statement, and I would like to quote that for you. United Church of God's vision statement. "We envision a church family where every member embraces a lifelong commitment to understand and practice the true principles of godly leadership as taught by Jesus Christ through His words and example as servant and leader. As a result, the church family will be developing Christ-like leadership, which is service to others, motivated by godly love, for the purpose of helping all reach their full God-given potential." The outcome will be a church truly prepared and equipped for the work of service, both now and in the kingdom of God under Jesus Christ. As I read that, I'm reminded of our sermonette that talked about the gifts that we have and the service that we can perform through those gifts. Everyone should serve, he stated, Mr. Luker did. We shouldn't have the attitude that we're above doing anything, that we should all be serving. Sometimes service goes unrecognized. Let's look at that in Matthew 6 and what it should be our attitude when that happens. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Sometimes we serve and people don't even know it. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, we do our deeds to be seen by men. Is that our attitude? Certainly, that's the opposite attitude of being a servant leader. Verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So we see two different attitudes of service here. We see a godly attitude of servant leadership. We see a get attitude of, look at me. Well, let's talk about some characteristics of a servant leader. A servant leader accepts feedback. And how is that? Well, a servant leader can take correction. They can improve. And I'm reminded through the examples of the Bible that even God could speak through a donkey. And if God can speak through a donkey, God and teach lessons through a donkey, He can speak through a child or another member, another one of our brethren. We can learn. We accept feedback. We accept correction as a servant leader. God can use anyone to correct us. Is our attitude, I can't take correction from this person. They are just whatever, a child. We can learn from everyone. A servant leader seeks legitimate input. And to do that, we must have humility. Humility. No matter who we are, we must have humility. A servant leader seeks to learn from everything that they do, from all experiences, responds to correction, as we mentioned, is teachable. A servant leader doesn't know it all. They're teachable, is humble, is meek. Matthew 5:5, and we don't need to turn there, we recognize this as the Beatitudes, where God says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom. The New Living Translation states it, God blesses the meek, the gentle, the lonely, and they will inherit the earth when Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God. We don't need to turn there, but in Psalms 31 and verse 11, it states that the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. An attitude of meekness. And we're talking about characteristics of a servant. A servant is passionate, gives unconditionally. A servant is a healer. Not only a healer, but a healer of relationships. Gives unconditionally, a healer. A servant listens. A true servant is committed to a set of values, true values. True principles. Not the end justifies the means, but the process of true values as we go about life. A servant gives encouragement, gives positive feedback. A servant is compassionate, is steadfast in an attitude of service, always looking for ways to serve, a way of life. A servant is not selfish. How many problems do we run into throughout life because of being selfish. How many problems do we run into throughout life because we're selfish? How many predicaments have we gotten into because we have been selfish? Well, imagine a world who had the attitude of being a servant. Think about our politicians. Imagine a world with politicians that had the attitude of being a servant leader. Imagine your workplace and everyone having the attitude of, I'm a servant leader throughout work. Imagine our families and the perfect harmony and the opportunity to learn servant leadership. We realize that many marriages fail because of selfishness, a lack of concern or neglect from the other mate. As parents, we are in charge of our families. Are we also their servants? Yes, we are. We're also their servants. The most powerful way that we can teach others is by our example. Our children, our families learn servant leadership through us. Our approach must be dedicated to the growth and development of our families, and our examples should reflect that. Well, imagine a world with a servant's heart, a child's heart. Imagine a world that esteemed each other better than themselves, forgave, apologized when they offended each other, that cooperated, that was teachable, that was truly humble, everyone you came in contact with. We have that world to look forward to. Throughout life, we can ask as we approach decisions that we make, is this decision based on having the heart of a servant, or is it based on having the heart of a Lord? When we have difficulties with others, we can reflect, do I have the attitude of a servant? For Christ came as Lord, but he was a servant to all mankind. Certainly had humility, taught us humility. He taught us by his example to have the heart of a servant, and we should have the heart of a child. Well, as we look forward to the Passover season, we look at Christ, our ultimate servant leader. Let's see in the Bible that it was prophesied that Christ would be a servant leader to all mankind. Let's look in the book of Isaiah. And we're going to read about Christ being prophesied as our servant leader. Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42, we're going to start in verse 1. This is God talking about Christ in a prophecy about a future time. Isaiah 42, verse 1, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlines shall wait for his law. Let's turn over a few pages as we look at prophecies here, reflecting Christ and his coming. Isaiah chapter 52, let's read in verse 13. Talking about Christ here. Verse 13 in chapter 52 of Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Let's keep reading here in chapter 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. The transgressions of us he was stricken. Our servant leader, verse 9. They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence. Nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, our transgressions. The ultimate servant leader, the ultimate service, the painful suffering and death of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is an annual reminder God has given to his disciples to remember the unconditional love Jesus Christ has shown mankind and his church as we look forward to the Passover season. How much should we bear each other? How much, as we look back on his ultimate sacrifice, should we be serving each other? Well, Christ came as Lord, but he was a servant to all mankind. Turn with me over to the book of John. John chapter 13. And these are some passages that we'll be reading as we come up to and at the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. John chapter 13, we're going to read verse 4. And he had come from God and was going to God, rose to supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Let's drop down to verse 12. When he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." Verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." The Nelson Study Bible, in reference to this, says that his garments, Jesus laid aside his outer garment, which would have impeded his movements. And by putting on an apron, Christ looked like the slave to whom the task of washing the feet of the guest was assigned. Though the disciples realized what Jesus was doing, none of them offered himself for the task. Servant leadership or servanthood was not on their minds, it goes on to say. Well, put yourself in that room at that time. Most wore sandals on their feet, and the lowest of the servants, the servant of the servants, would be the foot washer, And Christ took on the job of a servant and washed the feet to teach us the attitude of servant leadership. Christ constantly taught, encouraged, healed, visited during His ministry. He truly was the greatest example of a loving servant in the history of mankind. Well, how great Christ was, and yet He became a servant to all of mankind. The ultimate servant leader. Well, Christ instituted the foot washing service to teach His disciples the proper approach to leadership. Christ was their Lord, their teacher, their Savior, and yet He was willing to wash their feet, the lowest of the servants' jobs. So many times we say, yes, we should be humble. We have a humble attitude, but so many times we say, well, that doesn't really apply to me. That's really for someone else because we fill in the blank. And talking about being humble, let's turn over to the book of 1 Peter and learn the lessons of being humble. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Jesus Christ was the ultimate example of a servant leader. He submitted His life to demonstrate a greater love for all of humanity, knowing that He was shortly to die. He still taught us servant leadership by washing the disciples' feet during that last Passover that He had with them. Let's turn back to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And let's start reading in verse 24. But there was also a rivalry among them as to which should be considered the greatest. And He said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Verse 26. Be not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Verse 27. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who served, the greatest, truly the greatest. The Nelson Study Bible tells us in reference to this that the term the greatest, note the sad irony in this verse. While Jesus faced the reality of being betrayed and killed, His disciples argued about which of them was the greatest. And in reference to verse 26, as the younger, as he who serves, Nelson's Study Bible goes on to say that leadership does not exalt, it serves. It shows respect to others, as a young person would show respect to an elder. True leaders labor for others, as a servant would. In short, the Lord's view of greatness is the exact opposite of the world's view. So we are to serve. We see that we are to serve. Who do we serve? Well, many passages throughout the Bible tell us that we are to serve each other. We are to be mindful of others' needs. We are to be giving words of encouragement. Many passages tell us that we are to be serving God. But how do we serve God? Ephesians 6, verse 6, we don't need to turn there, but tells us, not with eye service, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, obeying His laws, striving to have His heart, showing the fruits of His character. We might ask ourselves, can someone have a problem with someone else if we are humbly serving each other? So what can we do? We can develop a Christ-like attitude in our lives in everything that we do. And how important is that? Very important. Do we have a care, a genuine care of each other? When we have difficulties, we can ask, am I approaching this with the heart of the servant or the attitude of a Lord? Well, who was the greatest? Was it Muhammad Ali? Is it us when we win an argument? Is it us when we won't cooperate with someone else when they seem to be getting their way and we're not? Is it us when someone else seems to be getting more credit than we are on some project that we're on? Is it us when we won't forgive someone when they have wronged us? No, it's by humble service. For God can do great things through us. And with the foot washing service coming up, we should be getting into and practicing a foot washing attitude now. The foot washing service puts humility together with being a servant, and the result is an attitude of humble service, an attitude. This is the attitude that God can use, not only as a tool to be a light for Him and teach others, but a way to teach us the true way of happiness. The Passover helps us understand the ultimate sacrifice for us, that true example of servant leadership. So as we examine ourselves, let us remember the ultimate servant leader. And as we look to root out attitudes that hold us back and that put us on the wrong wavelength, that detract us, let us remember to be daily striving to have that Christ-like attitude of leadership. We've all been called to be servants. We've all seen that Christ taught and lived a life and had the heart of a servant. Let's follow Christ's teaching and His example. So today, as we look ahead to the Passover ceremony and throughout the following weeks, let us think about how we can be striving to have the heart of a servant. And I'll finish up with a quote that we started off with from the first verse. This is so tremendously important as we strive to be servant leaders. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.